may the earth be kind, make each decision your mind, make each day a special one, like this very day, like this very day, like this very day, make each day a special one, like this very day. Cause Carrie and Helen tied the knot on this very day.
And that was Peggy Seeger's An Odd Collection is the album, and On This Very Day is the song. And her description of the song is, my son Callum and his partner Carrie Harvey Piper set the day for their wedding, March 25th, the very month and day on which I first met Ewan in 1956. Ewan McCall was her partner, a wonderful singer with her who died about 10 years ago. I bought one of those little books that gives you odd information concerning your date of birth. The book gives some of the religious festivals and mentions the saint associated with the day. It commemorates historical events, some of them quite bizarre. And then that is what you heard in that song by Peggy Seeger, An Odd Collection. And odd it is, but still well sung. Well, we're waiting to get a call from, not just from the Mumia March. We've heard that there's a huge march downtown forming hundreds of people at the town clock. For those of you who are interested, just go on down there and join that demonstration of public outrage against, again, the institutionalized injustice that is refusing to give a new trial to Mumia Abu-Jamal in Philadelphia. And you can find the same kind of injustice here in Santa Cruz, and hopefully people will be speaking about that downtown, not just about the sleeping ban, but about the drug war, about corruption in official places, about hate crimes undealt with. All these issues need to be raised, and I hope they are raised. And my producer mentions the death penalty, all these issues here in Santa Cruz. On a smaller note, though, while we're waiting for an incoming call from Richard Quigley, whose good humor and rough-hewn manner are only matched by his irascibility, we're going to be listening to a little bit from the sleeping band protest of last Tuesday, and we'll kind of play you some cuts from that.
We returned with
Joseph, with who's one, sleeping.
Joseph, and there's another baby.
Michael.
Oh, and Michael. Oh, right. Are these twins or just...
They're 9 months apart.
You've been moving fast there. I gotta watch your step here. See you, Jim. You've been traveling?
Yeah, I've been traveling all over the state.
And you're back in Santa Cruz?
Yeah.
When you left, there was a protest in front of City Hall? Is that where it was?
Yeah, we were protesting in front of... Well, years back, a few years back, we were sleeping over and people would do night watches and...
Dan Hopkins and Shauna Lamy.
Yeah. And I guess it's still going on, unfortunately. It's still illegal to sleep here, so.
It's true. And you're in a house or you're outside house?
I'm in an RV right now.
Right.
So. Yeah.
So how are you, do you have to rent a space in a campground?
No, I'm just parking wherever.
Uh-huh. Have you had any trouble from police?
I have not. No, not yet. I've only been back a short time. But I've been parked for like almost 2 weeks now and I haven't had any confrontations, but I'm not in a very seen area, so.
Mm-hmm. And you intend to stay in Santa Cruz?
It depends on what the weather is. I like to travel. I love to travel.
Are you alone with your kids, or you got somebody else with you?
I'm alone right now, currently with my children. Yeah.
And how is that? How is that for you? Must be. Is it fun? Is it burdensome? Is it both?
It's burdensome, but they're worth it. They're very worth it.
Oh, you don't get that. No, you don't. You are a cutie. What's your name?
His name is Michael. Say hi.
So, Michael, what do you think? Michael thinks he's going to play with the buttons of our tape recorder here. So, you're not sure how long you're going to stay, but I see another protest vehicle has joined us. It's almost 3 o'clock, and looks like beggar backer Becky Johnson has arrived with her vehicle right across the street in the sunshine with picket signs, no less.
We'll have more of that down the road here. We've been listening to clips from the Tuesday protest. But now we have on the line with us that man about Aptos.
I would call him, not a civil libertarian. I guess you would call yourself a freedom fighter, Richard Quigley?
Well, yeah, but am I caller number 7? Isn't there a vacation here, caller number 7? Aren't I caller number 7?
No, I'm afraid not. So you have the wrong station if you're looking for our... We believe in escalation, not vacation.
Oh, I got you. Okay.
Well, what's cooking? You know, the last time we talked to you, gosh, I don't remember, it must have been about a month ago. Or I think I did a tape with you where we talked about Jerry Henry, street minister in the Aptos area at the Rancho Del Mar Shopping Center, had once again outlasted another police harassment effort involving another court action against him to try to deny him the right to, what is it, sit on the wall near the...
No, man. He's got it cut down to its bare bones. Exist. Just be. You know?
Now, wait a minute. He could be somewhere else other than in the
shopping
center.
Oh, yeah, well,
center.
Sure.
But
I mean,
wait, Fresno?
Wait. How many somewhere else's are there, dude?
Well, the point was, of course, that Jerry ministers to kind of street youth, and he's a...
Yeah.
And he's advised young people of their rights, and this has annoyed First Alarm security merchants and deputy sheriffs out there.
Well, you say annoyed now. I mean, you know, that's a... After, by the way, it's not just the police. I wish it was just the police, but it's the district attorney and the courts. But how this guy gets the attention, I'll never know. But the amount of money is incredible. But, you know, after they gave up on trying him for calling himself a nigger, they dropped that one.
Now, let me remind the audience briefly of this charge. This was the charge. He said, when are you going to let this nigger have a cup of coffee? When are you going to let this nigger buy a cup of coffee in the coffee roasting company, the Aptos roasting company?
Actually, what he said was this nigger's tired of being at the back of the bus. But he was describing a situation where there's a line in the sidewalk down there that he can't cross and linger. And so, yeah, he sees that as the line in the middle of the back of the bus. And it says he declares this particular nigger's tired being at the back of the bus.
Now,
what would Rosa Parks do, you know?
He is a white man, but in this situation he is referring to himself as a civil rights person who's being persecuted, being treated in essence like a second class citizen.
Well, I think that most people know what it means when somebody says you're being niggered.
Yep.
You're being niggered, you're being treated like a second class citizen. It has nothing to do with color, it has to do with social status.
So the last I heard that the prosecution gave up on the day of the trial on doing this after putting Mr. Henry, who actually, as you pointed out, has psychological disabilities, which make this particularly burdensome when police do these kinds of things.
Oh, devastating. And since that, it's been a little over a month ago, you're right, that they finally dropped that. Jerry came back, you know, and was slowly but surely, in fact, last week was probably the best week I've seen him have in the last 3 years that this war has been going on. And things had backed up enough down there that he was working on the yard. His yard up here, he's got a huge garden that's about a 10, 12-acre garden that he runs everything in. I mean, he runs bulb plants and, you know, lawns and all kinds of petunias and stuff. And him and his mom and his stepdad, they work this huge yard. It's just an amazing place. One of the most beautiful gardens on the hill. But he's gotten back into it, man. He's out there chucking concrete and stuff and eating good, sleeping good, and climbing. You know, all this stuff has started to dissipate a little bit.
In other words, previously, of course, he said he couldn't sleep, he couldn't
eat. Oh, that's part of the effect of the harassment. Yeah, he can't deal with it. That's the psychological disability. He doesn't eat, he doesn't sleep, you know. It really does wipe him out. It physically assaults him.
It should be pointed out, however, that Jerry is indeed continuing to engage in a kind of a high-profile struggle. He is choosing to return to the Aptos Shopping Center, which he has absolutely every right to do. But police, kind of a conspiracy, I would have to say, certainly a collusion of merchants and police there.
It's so weird.
Want to get him out of there. And so when he comes back in there, he kind of goes into the lion's den, and it does have these serious consequences on him psychologically. He has
Let me give you the deal. First of all, he's not going to give up his right to be there. It's like he says, where do I go? I can't go to Mars. Even if I had a spaceship, I wouldn't go. That's, you know. But Friday noon, he's doing fine. He's been doing fine for a week, 10 days.
Last Friday.
Yeah, up till this last Friday. And he's sitting down there on the bench, and suddenly this First Alarm security guard walks up to him, young kid, you know, barely got a real beard, you know, peach fuzz on his face, little kid, walks up and announces that he is with First Alarm Security Service in Rancho Del Mar Shopping Center, and that it is his job to make, to discourage Mr. Henry from being there.
Mm-hmm.
And he addresses it, Mr. Henry, just that way.
So he admits that his purpose is not to enforce the laws, not to protect the peace.
No, it's to discourage him from being there.
So
that's
this,
it.
So this is, again, part of the business of turning the Aptos Rancho Del Mar Shopping Center into kind of a Carmel North.
Well, if you think it's just a Rancho Del Mar Shopping Center, you haven't been downtown lately, Robert, and we both know better than that.
Well, I'm of course, I don't wish to leave Santa Cruz out of the picture.
Yeah, no, this is a statewide campaign. Liberal fascism is the rage, you know. But anyway, so now I show up, and Jerry's starting to, you know, he handled it real well. He was running his tape recorder, and his response to the kid was a very quiet, you know, he asked him what his name was, and the kid sputtered something and then again repeated that he had to leave.
Now, it should be said that Jerry, in a prudent move, takes a tape recorder with him wherever he goes.
Oh, has to. You have to. Mm-hmm. It's the only way you get to defend yourself against the lying bastards. I mean, we have a first alarm security guard that tells us that the most intensive part of their training is how to lie. What lies to tell in all situations? It's the most intense part of their training. Okay? And that's going to come up just a minute, because the story's going to run about 15 minutes if I don't get, you know, if we don't get sidetracked too much, so I'll try to get through it. Anyway, this first alarm guard, he leaves Jerry because Jerry tells him to leave him alone. He goes in the coffee shop and starts looking for complaints. Is there anybody here has any complaints, you know? And that's the way that they set themselves up, so they can come out and mess with you. Somebody complains, then they walk up and say, well, somebody complains because you're here, so you have to leave. But they go looking for the complaints. Well, when I got there, he just walked out of the coffee shop, and their response, because the kids that work there are pretty hip, they've gotten wise to this, and they just looked at him and says, you must be new here, and sent him on his way.
Mm-hmm.
He walked in the liquor store and was asking the people in the liquor store where Jerry hangs out, you know, if they had any complaints. And that little girl works in there is also a friend of Jerry and understands the situation, wasn't the owner. And she said, no, there's no complaints, and the kid comes walking out the door. By this time, I was there and had the story, and I stopped him. And I said, young fellow, I understand that you're running around here looking for complaints. And if you're having trouble finding one, I've got one. And he says, well, what's that? And I said, well, I said, about every, you know, month or so, some guy shows up down here in a cop-looking uniform, all nice and shiny and blue and pressed and little chrome star or badge or something. And they start walking around these businesses terrifying these people, asking them if they got any complaints. And the people say, well, no, what would I be complaining? Well, all those people out there, aren't you afraid they're scaring your customers? Aren't your sales up? You know, they start selling this whole idea of giving them a complaint. And I says, I don't like the outcome of that. He says, well, we get paid to protect them. I said, I understand that. And if they had a problem, wouldn't they call you? What you're doing is running around looking for trouble. And I got a complaint about that. And he looked at me and kind of nodded his head. And he says, you're right. And he left.
Now, did you actually hear him in conversations with any of the merchants inside?
No, it was reported to me, and the authority is solid.
Okay.
There's no question. Okay, next day. Now, Jerry, he's a little reeling from this, but he's okay. This didn't derail him.
This is on Saturday?
We're still all right. This is Friday.
Right.
Next day, Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
I'm down there, and he and I are sitting down at the end of this bench. We're having a sip of coffee, and they had this new girl down there. I hadn't seen her before either, and she walks by a couple times, and she's kind of looking at me, you know. And I'm not the most handsome and conventional-looking character. You know, I thought I fit in pretty good in Santa Cruz, but apparently not.
You are you are this guy with a long beard. You're tall. You've been known to wear leather.
I look like a monster. I look like a monster.
Quite a fiendish type, and you look a little gaunt, I got to tell you.
Sure, I know. The last three or four guys that gone down for cannibalism, ain't none of them look like me, but that's okay. I'm still a horrible guy.
You're pretty bad, man.
Anyway, this little first alarm girl comes back, and she's riding as a passenger in this first alarm truck that pulls up in front of the liquor store, and the guy that's driving this truck walks over and says, you guys are going to have to get your stuff together and get out of here. Now, I got to tell you, I don't know how Jerry deals with this shit, but I know how I deal with it. And I come up off that bench and told that stupid son of a bitch to get out of my sight before I cuffed his ass up and held him for the cops. I wasn't going to put up with that shit. Who the hell do you think you are? Ain't yours or nobody's near. Get the fuck away from me.
Mm-hmm.
So he starts claiming he's going to arrest me for trespassing. I said, get it on, son. Call them cops. Get them out here. Well, the cop shows up, and it's a gal by the name of Cheryl Peterson. And she's one of the good guys. And she shows up, and she basically asked this kid first thing off the bat whether or not I'd placed him under arrest. And when he said no, she said, well, why don't you move with me down here? And she took him and that girl down below where I don't go. And then explained to them just what a stupid idea it was to walk up and mess with me and Mr. Henry, particularly with me. I don't know why. I guess it's because I'm not disabled.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, she come dragging that little girl back up there, and that little girl explained to Mr. Henry, because I don't need no apologies. I just don't need the same thing done twice. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
Anyway, they come walking back up there, and Cheryl Peterson explains how this young security officer had been threatened earlier in the day by somebody that looked a lot like me, and she thought it was me before, you know, she sent this guy over to get me, but she realizes now that it wasn't me, you know, but that was the reason. It was just a case of mistaken identity.
There's
now,
so many lookalikes running around Santa Cruz.
Yeah, no lie. Yeah. And, of course, I was sitting there, I'm thinking to myself, yeah, they give them a lie for every occasion because I know this bitch is lying. So Jerry, he just looks at her, and of course, he's pretty cool, man. He's got it all straight. He looks at her, and he says, well, I was ordered to leave, too. Who did I look like? You know? Okay? So now he starts to reel, because Cheryl Peterson won't do anything about these people coming up and attacking us. She won't even fill out a report, and here he goes, because he cannot handle this kind of injustice.
Now, we're talking about Jerry, right?
Yeah.
So Jerry wanted Deputy Peterson to fill out a report.
At least make a report on what had happened. If she wasn't going to arrest somebody, at least make a report.
So Jerry Henry would prefer that these two be arrested for harassment, but that at least a report be filled out.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, as would I.
Right.
But we didn't call for a citizen's arrest, but, you know, it would have been nice.
Mm-hmm.
Here comes Sunday. No security guards, but their maintenance people fill in as security, and they get a security guy up there, and he shows up there and tells Jerry Henry to get a life and move on, and flips him off, and of course Jerry blows up. Now he's out of fuse. Now he blows up and starts, you know, making it known that he's being messed with, that he doesn't appreciate it, and so now this guy runs down, and he calls the cops, and the cops show up. And the cops show up over there. And now Jerry's sitting there dealing with the cops about how do I get you to do something about this guy for harassing me and flipping me off and saying this stuff to me and trying to run me off and stuff. You know, how do we deal with that? And, of course, again, all the cops did was tell this guy to leave Jerry alone and went away and didn't do anything.
Did he leave Jerry alone?
Oh, he eventually left the property. Yeah, because mainly, I think, because I showed up. But I'm getting real sick and tired of that, man, because I ain't nobody's watchdog. I ain't nobody's bodyguard. They ought to treat this man right because it's the right thing to do. Nothing to do with how scary I look. You know what I mean?
Well, we can see what they did the next day to show how rightfully they were treating him.
Oh, here it comes. Now we get to the next day, and Jerry did not sleep the night before. He is absolutely out there. He's spun. He's trying to deal with all this stuff. He's trying to absorb it. And he gets down in front of Gottschalk's, and people pulled in, and he was down there talking to him, and he ordered a cup of coffee.
This is on Monday, right?
Yeah, this is on Monday. Now we're up to Monday.
Mm-hmm.
And he's down there talking to one of these guys. Another kid's gone to get him a cup of coffee, and suddenly this woman from the Gottschalk store sticks her head out the door and tells him to move along. He's disturbing them. Get a life, get a job, get out of here.
Now, before she said this, what had he been doing?
Standing there talking to one of the local guys down here, a concrete worker.
So he hadn't been screaming for all
the time. Hadn't been raising his voice, never screams. Hadn't been raising his voice, hadn't been talking to anybody, had nothing.
He wasn't taking a crap on the sidewalk.
No, he's standing out. In fact, he's standing at the front of the sidewalk, not even back by the doors of the store.
Wasn't mooning the passengers.
No. So now he goes off. And he's just talking to the people that he knows, but he's expressing how frustrated and bothered he is by this, and why does he have to put up with that, and why, you know, why won't they just stop, and on and on and on. And, of course, now Gottschalk's calls the cops. Here come the cops. They won't order him to leave because he hasn't done anything wrong. So what do? They arrest him.
And they arrest him on a charge of
602.1 intentional interference with a business. It's one of those things that's written in the cracks. There's no case law on it, so everybody's applying it to everything until the court comes in and says, no, you can't do that.
Let me ask you.
They just go do it.
You were a witness. Did you see any customers decline to go into the store?
No, it had nothing to do with any customers. It's like Cheryl Peterson was talking to him today and asked him about that, and he pointed, they were down there today. They had seven cops down there today again.
Well, first of all, finish up with what happened.
Well, anyway, they haul him off to jail.
Right.
The deputy. Now, first, it's a cite and release offense, first of all. Okay, write the ticket and release, even if he had done something. It's a cite and release offense.
Mm-hmm.
They take him to jail. They arrest him for it because they do have the discretion to make that choice.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they get him to jail, because they know that he's not going to be tried, they know that they'll charge him, They know he'll get a public defender. They know they'll arraign him. They know they'll put him through the next 3 or 4 months of torture. But they know, everybody knows they're not going to try him because he didn't do anything wrong. So what does this deputy do? He calls the judge and has him put a $2,500 bail on him on Columbus Day.
What judge?
I have no idea. I'm going to find out.
And, of course, on Columbus Day,
banks are closed. Mm-hmm. Surprised the shit out of them when Mama showed up down at the jail 30 minutes later with the money.
His mother?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How much was the bail?
$2,500.
Wow, that ain't chicken feed.
Well, it ain't not even close to chicken feed. I mean, if he went to a bail bondsman, it would be a $250 fine. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't do anything. They're the ones that broke the law. He didn't break the law.
Right.
But he's going to stand trial, and nobody will make a report. Nobody will do nothing about him. And I guess it went off again today down there. I wasn't down there for that. I heard something about it, but they're right back in there doing the same crap again today.
Well, maybe Jerry can speak about that himself if he feels up to it. I know he was telling me that a number of police officers came down. Now, did he return on Tuesday after he was released from jail?
Oh, no, he came right back on Monday. He was right back down there, sure.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't do anything wrong, man. I mean, Jesus criminy.
Right.
You know? It's like when you walk out on something like that, they win. Behavior that's rewarded will be repeated if they can run him out of there.
I understand.
You know, then they win. They'll do it every time.
Well, is he willing to tell us what happened today? It sounds like there was a larger congregation of police than before. By the way, you should know that even as we speak, there's a demonstration, I've told, of 200 to 250 people at the town clock marching through town urging a new trial for Mumia Abu-Jamal, whose death warrant has been signed. But just that I throw that in.
Who's that?
He's a black man who's been held in jail for 20 years in Philadelphia after a bogus trial. He's also a radio commentator, talks on issues on the air, and he's been on death row since 1983, I believe, or 82.
He was supposed to kill somebody?
He was supposed to have killed a police officer, but it appears from what I've read that the witnesses were perjuring themselves, the defense was incompetent, and he needed a new trial, and they haven't been giving it to him. So.
Well, he's never going to get one in this country anyway, man. We're past the point of fair trials. That's a long-since, dead-gone thing, man.
So what Jerry Henry did on, he was there on Tuesday and Wednesday, and they left him alone those 2 days?
No.
But then?
No, I think Tuesday was okay. I don't think anything happened on Tuesday, and then, maybe not Wednesday either, now that I think about it. Maybe today's the first time they went at him again, and I don't really know what the details were today.
So is he...
He's spun.
I know he was. I spoke to him earlier.
Yeah.
Is he there?
Oh no.
All right, you're calling from another place.
Yeah.
Well, what I may do is, what did you hear? What happened today? I know we're talking secondhand information, but
I'm so vague on it. I couldn't even tell a good replica. I really don't know. But it's the same thing.
I heard it concerned a number of officers this time. Like 2 or 3 times the number of officers.
Oh yeah. Yeah. They had at least 5 down there, and that's the most anybody's ever got down there. I got 7 cops and 6 cop cars.
Well, you should come to Pacific. That's chicken feed on Pacific Avenue.
Well, I know. I understand. And I'm sure that the crimes down there are every bit as heinous as the stuff we're being accused of, you know? I think the difference is though, I don't know what's going on downtown. I've never been bothered by anybody downtown. And if it ever happens, then I'll goddamn sure know what's going on. I do remember one time years ago when they still had them planter boxes out in front of the stores.
Mm-hmm.
I was sitting outside the old pipeline store on a planter box, and there was a kid sitting over there about 5 feet away from me, and he was gathering signatures.
Mm-hmm.
And this cop come walking over him and said something to him, and he jumped off that planter box, and I watched this whole thing go down, and that cop walked away, and when the cop walked away, I said, what did he say to you? He said, well, there's an ordinance against sitting on the firebox. I said, well, what the hell does he think I'm doing? Why didn't he come say something to me? Jesus Christ, man.
Yeah, what we used to do when they did that down on the mall when they had the beautiful brick planters back before the earthquake.
Yeah.
Was we would sit down next to the people they were doing this to. That's the best way to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I have a routine for that. You know, my routine is real simple, and it's pretty much consistent. My first go-around when somebody walks up and says something stupid like that to me is I will say, excuse me, because I think everybody gets a second chance. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And then when they come back and they say something so stupid like that to me again, a second time, it's blow it out your ass.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're actually stupid enough to keep coming after they've got those two, they get a fuck you, buddy, and I mean a whole bunch of stuff to follow, because I don't dig that. I don't know where people get off walking around telling other people what to do. You know, but I won't abide it. I just won't abide it. I came to this town 20 years ago, and I was one of the most bigoted, judgmental son of bitches that ever walked the face of the earth, redneck to the bone. I used to look around and have hippies down there in town and scare the bejesus out of me. But it never once occurred to me to walk up there and tell one of them quit acting that way. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
Now, in the last 20 years, what I've learned is how stupid I was 20 years ago about all of that shit. I have become absolutely tolerant of my fellow human beings, save for them assholes that have become so damned intolerant of me.
It's hard to tolerate them, isn't it?
You know, when I was a jerk, I didn't like that kind of behavior.
Right. Well, Richard, let me see if I can catch Jerry Henry on the phone again. Maybe I can get the conclusion to the story, though I know he is probably not feeling in the best of moods.
Well, see what you can get from him, because I know he's home. I just talked to him.
All right, and I want to thank you, Richard, quickly for giving us the update on the Jerry Henry situation.
It's always my pleasure, and Robert, I always enjoy the fact that you're willing to sit down there and put yourself in a position to get the word out to the people that listen to that station. I will talk to you later, my friend.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye.
Yeah. band. That was Peter, Paul, and Mary, Right Field. Boy, another one of my favorite tapes from bygone times. Let's hear a little more of them. Another selection from Peter, Paul, and Mary's album No Easy Walk to Freedom, and it's the name of the song was I'd Rather Be in Love. I've just been talking to Jerry Henry on the phone, and he's taking a breather, so he's not going to go on the air at this point, but he's told me that what happened today down at the Rancho Del Mar Shopping Center is he was sitting peaceably where he usually sits. I guess it was in the Gottschalk's coffee roasting area, and he suddenly observed an employee of Gottschalk's, a woman named Claudia, taking a photo of him through the window, and he, in a mellow tone of voice, commented on that to a friend of his. She then called the police, and five squad cars showed up. Two officers interrogated him for a length of time. Claudia insisted he was yelling at passersby, although he said he has a tape and he'd be willing to play it for anyone to show he was not raising his voice. And then he took off to help a youth get downtown, and then came back and finished the day there. But this guy has got more tolerance or more determination in spite of his, I guess it's not really tolerance for police misconduct, it's the sense that you have to take a stand to maintain the right to be in a public space, and I'm at a future time when he's up to it, I'm going to have him on the air talking about this issue himself, because he puts it very well. And though I think any of us would be suffering a near nervous breakdown after harassment on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then arrest on Monday, and then suddenly the massive police presence today on Thursday. Jerry seems to be taking it very well. So I'm really impressed. I'm going to say goodbye to Jerry. He's on the other line. He's not feeling like going public. But stay with us on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Take care of yourself, Jerry.
I'm sorry, folks. I hope I didn't leave it on for too long there. I'm reading a story from the Associated Press about Beijing from September 1st. Police began rounding up migrants, beggars, and others deemed undesirable today as China's capital spruces up for celebrations to mark the 50th anniversary of communist rule on October 1st. About 3,200 police sent out before dawn collected 463 people from train stations, pedestrian underpasses, railway bridges, streets, and other hideouts, the official newspaper Beijing Evening News reported. Among the beggars were a 10-year-old girl and her 5-year-old sister from the eastern province of Anhui, who had no adult looking after them, the paper said. The report said police in Beijing would expel or take into custody beggars, the homeless, unemployed people living on the streets, the mentally ill with no one to care for them, and, quote, all others who under national regulations should be taken in and sent away. I guess Jerry Henry should thank his lucky stars he's not in Beijing. The number of beggars and homeless people has grown substantially in recent years as people have left impoverished rural areas for Beijing. They are usually tolerated, but occasionally are rounded up and sent home. The report did not say what would happen to those who had no home to return to. Other cities also are rounding up migrants and sending them home. The report noted that in other places the Ministry of Civil Affairs was in charge, but in Beijing the police were because of its importance for social stability. With rural incomes lagging and millions of city dwellers out of work, Chinese authorities are taking special care to ensure nothing mars the 50th anniversary celebrations. They have cracked down on dissidents, banned a popular meditation movement, and stepped up an anti-crime campaign. Of course, they're making themselves criminals through these attacks on human beings, just as the folks out at the Aptus Rancho Del Mar Shopping Center are. Well, what else have we got here? A couple of announcements. TRUSC, Tenants' Rights Union of Santa Cruz, has its usual rent stabilization meeting. Actually, TRUSC doesn't have that meeting. TRUSC has a phone number to call, 426-0644, if you want help with rent problems, if you're a renter, or if you're a landlord and you want to maybe get some understanding of the renter position. Rent Stabilization Initiative meeting is happening on Saturday, 3 p.m. at the Java House, in case you want to help with that initiative. At 10 a.m. on October 22nd, which isn't too far away now, let's see, October 22nd is next week on Thursday, I believe. Nope, Friday. Dennis Reams' case returns. He's the homeless man who has twice gone back to court, actually many more times, I think it's six times gone back to court, for an 11-month-old sleeping ticket, which supposedly was supposed to have been dropped, but they keep forcing him to come back. He was found guilty, but he refused to pay, saying that an infraction ticket, as for sleeping, is something that could not be properly enforced with threat of jail or forced community service. Or he could be fined, he said, and that was acceptable, but if he refused to pay, they had no criminal sanctions they could use with him. The only thing he could do was confiscate his property or engage in a civil lien. And last I heard from him, his attorney expects to win this case. And if he does, and it's not just an individual case, it could be very significant for the homeless community in Santa Cruz, because it means that if you're charged with a sleeping ban offense and you go through the entire court process, and then if you're found guilty and you refuse to pay a fine or do community service, the only thing they can do is sue you civilly. And if they admit this precedent, it's very significant for every single sleeping ban ticket and other non-vehicular municipal infraction that comes in. So we'll have to follow that case. 10 a.m., Department 6, October 22nd in Danner's Court, Dennis Rehm, R-E-H-M. Then on October 28th, about a week after that, actually 7 days, there's going to be a special solidarity training with Katya Komisarek at the Loudon Nelson Center. It's free, it runs from noon to 7, and it may be the most educational thing you've ever done. I was really impressed with the kind of training I got, and again, it didn't cost a penny. I mean, although they are encouraged to donate, and I hope people do donate. That's going to be, again, on October 27th, Wednesday, 10 a.m. Thursday, October 28th, at noon at the Loudon Nelson Center. And that same evening is going to be a hate crimes forum at Loudon Nelson. But if you can't make the hate crimes forum, make sure you make the training. Lots of things coming up. Lots of things happening. Let's see, in the next few days, what have we got? Tomorrow at noon at the Downtown Association, one of my favorite places. That's the head of the gang that brought you the downtown ordinances. They're actually taking a different role here. The Downtown Association's Peter Eberle is on the Homeless Issues Task Force. And I've been actually muting my criticism of the Homeless Issues Task Force lately because the little things are beginning to come out of their subcommittees that I like, even though they're pretty small and they're pretty unlikely to be given any major attention by the city council. Nonetheless, if they can be properly publicized, they can begin to put the kind of pressure which, together with protest in the streets, might lead to some real changes in Santa Cruz around the sleeping van and the anti-homeless laws. The meeting tomorrow at noon is of the Outreach Subcommittee, the Homeless Issues Task Force. And what this means in English is the Homeless Issues Task Force has decided that they don't like people getting beaten up in so-called troll bustings and other hate crimes, crimes that are generally not reported by the Sentinel, though you see occasionally this one Neary Lagoon crime referred to repeatedly. But the other crimes of which there have been, well, I've talked about the attacks on homeless people, 25 to 35 since January of this year. And there have been somewhere between 6 and 12 assaults on people in the last 4 weeks downtown, I think one of which made the paper. And the police department is very closed-mouthed about it. When people make inquiries, they're told they're essentially pushed away with confidentiality talk, skepticism, world weariness, and so forth. We did get a statement from Sergeant Sepulveda, who heads the Internal Affairs Department of the Santa Cruz Police Department. He spoke at the Citizens Police Review Board on Monday and said he personally guaranteed that if anyone filed a complaint with him, he would not ID check them. If anyone filed a report of an assault with him, of a beating of any sort, and I assume that he means a beating of anybody, but if he means a beating just of that, maybe he means a person getting attacked, him or herself, he would not ID check that person. He would not check that person for warrants. He would facilitate that, and he would make sure that if he wasn't there, someone else would do it, which is a pretty uncompromising statement and got everybody kind of perked up and smiling at the Citizens Police Review Board, except that, again, it seemed to be heading off action from the Citizens Police Review Board that might have been more meaningful. I mean, we'll see if Lee keeps his word on this issue, and I certainly hope he does, because homeless people do not report hate crimes to the police, because in their minds, in many cases, although the police are not known for going out and beating up homeless people, at least not in uniform, and I haven't heard of any police beating people out of uniform as well, I want to add, in terms of hate crimes, at least not for a while, they are not particularly known for their vigilance in helping homeless people, in treating them with respect or consideration, in affording them basic human rights. Partially, police are hobbled by the sleeping ban, but partially they use it as a tool, a police tool, and they do so without respect for homeless people. At least some officers do, and some officers, as they say, make the whole barrel rotten, unfortunately, because you can't tell who's going to be approaching you in that badge and with that gun and with that truncheon and that pepper spray. So again, tomorrow at noon it's actually the Downtown Association, which is right on the second floor of the building across from the coffee roasting company. And do I have that? I don't have that exact address, but it's the headquarters of the Downtown Association, and you can find it if you walk across from the Pacific Avenue Coffee Roasting Company. At noon, they're going to be talking about setting up hearings to get testimony from homeless people about beatings, hate crime beatings. And this will be an attempt to get authoritative information that will put the police on the, and the district attorney and the city council all on the hot seat and demand some kind of public response, both to prosecute the, to find, capture, prosecute, and convict the assailants, and also to protect homeless people with such things as a safe zone. And that's something I was talking about at the shelter subcommittee meeting of the Homeless Issues Task Force today. They're having, they have four separate little subcommittees that are meeting, and I've got them to recommend first that they support rent reduction and or rent stabilization. I got them to suggest that they would support opening up safe zones in parks, maybe even if it's only dusk to dawn, safe zones, gone by dawn, safe zones in the park so you can sleep and then you pack up your bag and gone at, you know, in the morning. Something someplace where people could sleep safely. And then there was a third item they also passed. Some real indication of what's going on at the Armory, which doesn't open until November. And there's we'll talk about that whole issue in our next show, because we're beginning to get close to the 8 o'clock deadline here, and I want to get through a few more things before we get there. I'm pleased to report that the trials of the Santa Cruz Five, there were going to be two of them starting on Monday, that for Nassim Zarifi and Jim Costner, have been postponed down the road a piece, and that's hopefully going to give them some time to get their legal defense together. So I understand that their next trial readiness conference is going to be, I think it's next week. Yeah, I didn't write it in my notebook, but it's not, it's at least it's not Monday, so that's good. So we can take a breather here before rushing into the next trial, those of us who are trying to support those who are being pursued by the Santa Cruz police. That's good. What else we got? Well, let's see. Tomorrow, Friday, there is a workshop from 10 to 2 at the UCSC Student Center of Art and Revolution for the World Trade Center protest. Then at 5 p.m., at 5 p.m. downtown, we have a potential sleeping ban protest happening. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, we had a very good, I liked what happened on Tuesday in terms of our park your car downtown and take a snooze protest. Even though it had very few cars involved, a lot of people who were hungry came by and ate. A lot of people began to sign up to support future protests. And what I told folks was, if enough people call me tonight and tomorrow morning, I will commit myself to being downtown on the street between 5 and 8, doing more protest activity right across from the Cinema 9 Theater. So, my number is 423-4833. That's the number of HUF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom. If you want to be a part of a protest, if you want to volunteer in some way, even if it doesn't involve coming down on Friday, if you want to be part of the organization that finds some way to restore basic civil rights to homeless people and to people who help homeless people and young people like Jerry Henry and Rumi Abu-Jamal, for that matter, give me a call at 423-4833. And if I get six or seven people calling, I will definitely go down there and do that protest. So we'll see if the calls come in, and we'll see if the protest happens. And that doesn't mean I'm going to give up even if those calls don't come in, but I want to realistically kind of husband my energy, so to speak, to use an ancient term. Well, I've got a long story here, which I don't think I'll have time to read. There is an update from KPFA, which might be of interest for folks. There are 12 demands being made to the Pacifica Foundation for radio station staff of KPFA. For those of you who are KPFA listeners, after over a month of deliberations, the 12-person KPFA steering committee, whose members include representatives from the paid staff, the unpaid staff, local advisory board, community groups, and local KPFA management, has proposed 12 points to present in the ongoing mediation, thus far completely without results with Pacifica. And these include: governance. Pacifica must make a legally binding commitment to democratize its governing structures by establishing a mechanism for the democratic selection of board members, including all constituencies of member stations, Our concept of democratization includes complete operational and financial transparency and accountability to the station's constituencies at all times. The Pacifica board members, including the chair, must agree to retire as part of the implementation process. The bylaws changes to bring this about should be adopted no later than August 31st, 2000. And there are actually 11 others. If you're interested, you can go on the net and you can get those comments at, do I have that number? I think I do. At, boy, you give me a call at 423-HUFF, 423-4833. I will give you that email address. Or you can simply, I think if you save KPFA, I believe, is still the website. If you start searching for Save KPFA, you'll find more information on this subject. I am out of time, and I always like to give Uncle Dennis a special song to go out on, because he's a man who has good humor above all things. And he,
not tonight.
But there are some exceptions. For example, that wicked-looking oak tree in his right arm is making me a little nervous. I know he is an environmental activist, so I'm kind of trying to take that into account. But, I will play a somewhat different song, given the realities of Dennis's disposition. Dennis, of course, is Uncle Dennis, and Uncle Dennis is the man who brings you every week Earth First. And not only does he bring you Earth First, you can actually go find out about Earth First. You can come to a 7 o'clock meeting on Tuesday at the Rise Zone. Is that right, Uncle Dennis?
That's right, except that next week it's going to be at Patagonia.
Patagonia, wherever that may be.
415 River Street.
415 River Street. I guess that's where that is. Well, we'll see if Uncle Dennis can slip in on this one song, which I'm about to play to kind of usher us out. If you want to be a part of any of these activities around the sleeping ban or more information on the Homeless Issues Task Force, give me a call at 423-HUFF or tune in on Sunday when Bathrobe Spears Broadsides returns here on 96.3 FM. We go from 11 to 1:30 on Sunday, and we hope that you will join us then. In the meantime, let's go downtown and see what's happening with the 250-strong protest of Mumia Abu-Jamal's new execution date. And apparently, it's going to be hard to get into downtown, but we'll see what we can do.
Yeah, the south end of the mall is blocked off.
South end of the mall is blocked off. Wow. Yeah. Well, let's see what certain famous singers have to say about that.